everyone, and welcome back to Presenting Pixie Dust. I'm Elizabeth Kerr.
And I'm Brett Harvey.
And may the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you.
It's like my Catholic upbringing that when someone says, may the 4th be with you, it's like my instinct to go, and also with you. Like we would at church.
Yeah, really.
It's just like, yeah, it's my genuine like first reaction is to go, and also with you.
Yeah. Were they Star Wars fans at your church?
No, it's just like a Catholic church. And yeah, you're being funny because it's not funny. Do you not know that reference?
Yeah.
It's like the peace be with you situation. Yeah.
May God be with you and also with you. Is that right?
No, it's peace be with you.
Just peace.
Yeah, just peace.
No God.
Not God. Okay. Just peace.
In the name of God.
In the name of God. Peace in the name of God.
So why are we so excited about May the 4th?
Because it's Star Wars Day. It's International Star Wars Day.
It
and
is.
And we celebrated this day last year with me watching Star Wars Episode 4,
mm-hmm.
A New Hope, for the first time. And today, we are finishing up the trilogy. It's taken us a year.
Yeah.
But we are finishing the original trilogy with an episode on Return of the Jedi.
And just so, like, to set the tone for people, so they had the original three movies and they all came out in, like, the
70s. This one came out in the 80s.
And then, of course, George Lucas, you know, he wanted to make some more Star Wars bucks, so he made some other episodes, but then they were named as prequels, mm-hmm. and everything just got a little bit confusing.
Convoluted.
So it's quite an interesting, you know, like I guess as far as storytelling goes, it's probably different to a lot of other movie sequences.
We started in the middle of the story.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know what his reasoning was with that.
I'm not sure either.
Mm.
I did have that thought, though, when we were watching the first one. I think I said that in the episode, that it's like I'm starting in the middle of the story and the whole movie I was just trying to catch up and work out what was going on and who was who and what we're doing here. And, yeah, I mean, it's weird. I just don't love this style of storytelling.
Yeah.
And maybe it's like the old school 70s, 80s sci-fi sort of situation, but, like, I didn't love it. I wanted to really love it. I want to be a part of the original trilogy Star Wars club. And I just
couldn't get there.
I just can't get there. I just can't. But shall we get into some stats and facts, or have you got something you want to say before?
No, probably just, you know, like on the back of what you're saying, though, I think once you sit down, if you're sitting down to just chill out and enjoy it, maybe if you surrounded yourself with someone who was super into it, then it would be fun. But if you're sitting down to sort of analyze it like we do, you're looking at it with a totally different lens.
Incorrect. I did not want to analyze. I wanted to be entertained and enjoy it. But I just, yeah, anyway, we'll get on to that later.
So I did all the analyzing. Okay.
You did. You must have, because I just wanted to enjoy. I, you know, dozed off about five times while we were watching this. So
and
I may have missed some details.
We'll tell our audience that we're doing something a little bit different today. I always like to try and mix things up and, you know, change things a little bit. So up on the screen next to us, we've got some visual inspiration.
Some visual aids.
Which is, I think the one on the left is the original, like movie poster from the 80s when it came out.
Yep.
And it's, you know, it's blue, sort of shades of blue with Luke in the middle there with a blue lightsaber and a couple other key
Why is his lightsaber blue?
Don't know, actually.
I have so many questions about this whole movie.
And we've got Princess Leia, spoiler alert, in a bikini.
In the gold bikini that she wears for about 7.8 seconds of the entire film.
Yet the whole world talked about it.
Yeah, I thought she was going to wear it for the whole movie.
And people still talk about
that. Princess Leia in the gold bikini. Like, I'd never seen this movie, but I knew about that.
And then we've got the one on the right, which I think it's a more modern remake of it, and mm-hmm. it's in shades of green. Luke's got a green lightsaber.
Yeah.
And they've given some other characters more prominence. So they've got Yoda in there.
Who, again, was in the movie for 7.8 seconds.
Instead of one Ewok, they've now got two Ewoks.
Mm-hmm.
They've gotten rid of Lando Calrissian and they've chucked in Jabba the Hutt.
Look, I don't mean to interrupt you, but you do know that this is an auditory media, podcasting, so you're explaining all this. Our lovely audience can't see it.
So I'm trying to paint a visual for them, honey.
I'm painting a visual of something
so
they can't
So one's blue,
see.
One's green, all right?
Okay.
Moving on,
all right. This movie premiered on the 25th of May, 1983. It has a runtime of 134 minutes and has a rating of 8.3, a current rating of 8.3 on IMDb and 82% on Rotten Tomatoes. So that's really close to each other.
That's those cool. Two.
Yeah. Because sometimes we don't get that. Sometimes we get quite big discrepancies between IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes. But this one, they're pretty on par. I don't know what movie they were watching, but anyway. All right, fun fact.
Or when they were watching it,
or when they were watching it, exactly. Fun fact number one, the screenplay was again written by Lawrence Kasdan and George Lucas based on Lucas's story. Yeah. So that happened as well with Empire Strikes Back where George Lucas didn't write the script. It was written by other people. And one of the ladies that wrote the script for Empire Strikes Back passed away. Remember me telling you that?
Yeah.
Of cancer, some sort of cancer. Yes, but this was written by Lawrence Kasdan and George Lucas. So I thought this is really interesting because you said that this is the original poster. Not quite. So Kasdan claims that he told Lucas that Return of the Jedi was a weak title, and Lucas later decided to name the film Revenge of the Jedi. So the original teaser trailer for the film carried the name Revenge of the Jedi, and in December 1982, Lucas decided that revenge was not appropriate as a Jedi should never seek revenge, and he returned to his original title of Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
But by that time, thousands of Revenge of the Jedi teaser posters had been printed and distributed, so Lucasfilm stopped the shipping of the posters and sold the remaining stock of 6,800 posters to Star Wars fan club members for $9.50 each.
Really? Oh, yeah. Bargain.
So there's people out there bargain. That have got Revenge of the Jedi there posters that they got for $9.50 in the 80s.
And, of course, one of the other subsequent movies was called Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, so that's...
Which is far more appropriate.
Absolutely, and that's actually something that I read about as well, that he then decided to use the revenge word, which he liked, but it wasn't appropriate for this movie for Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, there you go.
Which one's that? That's third movie.
Yep.
Third movie? Episode 3?
Yep.
Revenge of the Sith?
I'm gonna nod and I'm gonna
so
go.
So the first one is Phantom Menace, and then it's Attack of the Clones, isn't it?
Yep.
And then Revenge of the Sith.
The third in the prequels.
The third in the second trilogy.
Yeah.
Third movie of the second trilogy. It's all very confusing.
This is what we're talking about, people.
But fun fact number two, it took 6 people to work the full-size animatronic of Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
6 people. Yeah.
Wow. And one person to CGI it.
One person to be the tongue and 5 people to do all the other things.
That's interesting. How many?
6. Yeah.
Well, hey, I didn't look like he had that many moving parts.
Well, maybe there was a different, like, person per moving part.
Someone did the face,
someone did an arm, someone did another arm.
Yeah, they had the tongue going in and out and the jaw, so there would have been someone for that.
Mm. I don't know if they were in him or, like, I don't know where they were, because I don't think you could fit 6 people in there. Maybe you could. It was pretty big. Maybe 6 small people.
Bit of green screen, maybe a bit of, you know... Yeah, that's interesting.
Thought you'd like that. Fun fact number 3, originally Yoda was not in the script.
Yeah.
So Yoda was only added when George Lucas determined that he was the best character to properly confirm to Luke that Darth Vader was his father. So when they did testing, they sort of realised that the audience didn't believe Darth Vader. When he said, "I am your father," they thought he was lying because that's... something that Darth Vader would do. So they needed someone to confirm it, someone who knew.
Someone that had the power to know
those things.
Not only the knowledge, but also we know Yoda.
A character we trust.
He's strong with the Force. Mm-hmm. So he can sense people who are strong with the Force as well.
Yeah.
So he would know.
Yeah, so it was, and it also needed to be a character that the audience trusted.
Well,
trusted what he was going
to
say.
Luke listened to Ben Kenobi and... We find out later on that
Ben was a little bit fast and loose with facts.
Yeah, he kind of just omitted some things in there.
Mm-hmm.
we'll get to that later.
Alrighty. Number 4. This movie was originally filmed under the fake name of Blue Harvest to avoid spoilers being leaked out to the public. So it was, whenever anybody asked what they were doing, they just sort of gave sort of a nondescript horror movie description of what was happening. But another reason was also because the production found out that if they mentioned that they were working on the next Star Wars movie, suppliers would automatically ramp up their pricing for what they wanted. Yeah, assuming that money was no object for Lucasfilm and that they could charge whatever
they
wanted.
Which is true.
Well, yeah, but that's not fair. It's like...
No.
It's very much the same as when you're planning a wedding.
Wedding tax. In,
exactly. This is Lucasfilm tax. Yeah,
we know this, people. We've gone through it.
All right, number five. The second Death Star was...
Oh, can I hold you for a second there?
Yes, you can.
Because it just occurred to me.
Okay.
You mentioned Blue Harvest.
Blue Harvest, yes.
I think, I'm pretty sure that was a name of... You remember Family Guy?
Uh-huh.
Family Guy came out with a movie which is based on Star Wars.
Oh,
and they
yeah.
call, I'm sure it was called Blue Harvest.
It probably was, because that's
which is a
this,
nod to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, nod to their fake name.
And I wondered, always wondered where they got that Blue Harvest from, so it must be obviously that.
So Blue Harvest was based off another movie that had the name Red Harvest that they sort of went with.
No, well, this Family Guy thing,
oh,
was,
really?
It was all, it was the Family Guy characters
yeah.
posited into the Star Wars universe.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's probably worth a watch, actually. You might find it more entertaining than this actual movie.
You know what I might. All right, so the second Death Star was approximately 460% larger than the first one.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes.
That's really large.
That is very large. Well, it's larger, 460% larger than the first one.
Yeah, there you go.
It's pretty big.
That's why they were still building it.
Yeah, I like that, you know, the whole that it wasn't built through the movie, like that they were still working on
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and that becomes a plot point later on when we discover that, you know, it's rumored to be not operational, you know, and for those people who don't know about Star Wars, this Death Star is going to shoot lasers out and destroy things. So they all the rebels think that it's not operational. And from the looks of it, it doesn't look operational.
No,
it but
doesn't.
Guess what, people? Spoilers.
It's operational.
Yeah.
All right. Fun fact number six. The word Ewok is never spoken in the movie, nor are the individuals referred to by name.
There you go.
I was waiting for them to say, it's the Ewoks, but they don't. Ever.
No.
Not in the whole movie.
No. Not at all.
Not at all.
I think, look, you know, C-3PO speaks their language.
Yeah.
Roughly.
He translates.
But he never, yeah, no, he doesn't refer to them by name of group.
No. Or yeah. species, genus or species.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess you'd call them that, wouldn't you?
All right, fun fact number seven. Originally, the colour of Luke's new lightsaber was going to be blue, the same one, same as the one that he lost in Star Wars Episode 4, Empire Strikes Back. Luke can even be seen wielding a blue lightsaber in early movie trailers, so that makes sense why his lightsaber is blue in this poster that you've got here.
Yep.
However, when a scene of Luke assembling and activating his new lightsaber, still blue, was cut, George Lucas thought that the audience might not understand that Luke's new lightsaber was not the same one that he lost on Cloud City. And so to avoid confusion, Lucas decided to change the colour from blue to green, making it clear that Luke was using a new lightsaber.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes.
Yeah. Good little plot there.
Yeah.
Plot point.
And last, fun fact number eight, Harrison Ford actually suggested that Han Solo be killed through self-sacrifice. And Kasdan, who, as I mentioned earlier, was one of the writers of the script, concurred, saying that it should happen near the beginning of the third act to instill doubt as to whether the others would survive it. Survive the final battle. But Lucas was vehemently against it and rejected the concept. So Gary Kurtz, who actually produced Star Wars and The Empire Strikes Back, said in 2010 that the ongoing success with Star Wars merchandise and toys led George Lucas to reject the idea of killing off Han Solo in the middle part of the film during a raid on the Imperial base. According to Kurtz, Lucas opted for a happier ending to encourage higher merchandise sales. And Harrison Ford himself has agreed with this sentiment, saying that Lucas didn't see any future in dead Han toys.
Yeah. So. That's great. Because, you know, I'm sort of a healthy skeptic when it comes to Star Wars and Lucas's choices for what happens in the series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we know that he made a lot of money from the merchandising. In fact, that's the way his original contracted
the movies.
The way he was originally contracted was that was the only way he could really make any money, because they didn't see a future in it. We talked about this last time. There wasn't
no
real long term future seen in this film. Mm-hmm. So the budget was fairly small. Lucas,
well, he self-funded it.
Yeah,
he didn't
Lucas,
have a production company do it. He did it all himself.
So Lucas...
Under Lucasfilm.
He retained the rights to the merchandising and made big bang for buck there. And so that was a big lesson for him.
Yeah.
You know, and moving forward, he makes... You can see there's central characters, but there's a deliberate inclusion of new characters and new space machines, equipment,
mm-hmm.
you know, all that sort of stuff.
I think it's also a really big lesson in back yourself. He yeah. knew he had something and he was confident people were going to like it and no one believed him. It's very yep. similar to you know, our mate Walt, who decided he was just going to build a theme park based on yeah. his ideas.
Named like, after himself.
Named yeah. after himself. Disneyland, Lucasfilm, yeah. you know, and people thought he was nuts. Yeah. That no one's going to go to this. No one's going to buy into this. But they did.
I think the other thing too is, they will come. You know, probably there had been a long, at that point in time in movie making history, there'd been a lot of what you might call B-grade
sci-fi
stuff. Yeah. And I think that this was one of those moments in time where the game was really stepped up for mm-hmm. sci-fi and it elevated it to a whole new level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in much the same way as you mentioned Disney, you know, throughout history, they've led the way and really raised the bar, you know, every time.
Yeah.
They've come up with something new. They're right at the cutting edge of technology. So although in some ways the movie might appear, in your words, a bit boring, but there's a whole lot of great stuff that's happening in the movie making part of it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Those are all my facts. Yeah. Would you like to talk about the movie now?
There's a going back to the merchandising for okay, a sec. There's a funny meme that pops around every now and again, and it's a photo of merchandising as figurines. In there, it says Luke's Arnie and Uncle Arnie Ben, Uncle Ben, and I can't remember Arnie's name.
I don't know.
But it then has these.
Are they the ones that die? In
had
the
these had these charred skeleton corpses as the as the figurines, and you know you mentioned there's no future in dead Han Solo merchandising. It's the same joke.
Yeah. yeah. Well, that's it. I just think it's kind of. I'm going to sort of relate this sort of to Harry Potter, which is not the same thing, but it is the hero's quest, right? Yeah. It just sort of doesn't make sense to me that not one of our, like, characters that we know is killed.
Mm.
They all survive, yeah, this all is of them.
Not Game of Thrones.
It's not even her. Even in Harry Potter in the Battle of Hogwarts, right, we lose not Harry, Ron or Hermione, but we lose important characters
yeah.
in that, you know. We lose Tonks and Lupin and Fred Weasley and, you know, these characters that we have followed and we have loved.
Yeah.
So it makes zero sense to me that every one of them survives this.
Makes it.
That Han, Leia, and Luke, so they're sort of like your Harry, Ron, Hermione of the,
yeah.
the thing. So it makes sense that they would survive. But like someone like Lando could have yeah. gone.
I think,
you know?
Well, look, if you go back to the first one.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Old Ben Kenobi dies.
Yes.
That's probably your.
He's like your Dumbledore.
He's your Dumbledore.
Well, he's not. Yoda's kind of your Dumbledore.
So I think we didn't expect that. When he fought Vader, we didn't expect that he would die and disappear. So it's probably, you know, a bit of a shock.
That was two movies ago, though.
In this movie, Yoda dies.
Yes, but Yoda's not killed. Yoda dies of old age.
It's explained really well yeah. that he's 900 years old.
Yeah.
And
he's just done. He's tapping out.
And actually, we talked about that maybe in a previous episode. We were like, oh, how old do you think Yoda is? And
yeah.
we knew it was quite old, but yeah. he says in this, oh,
it's 900
years old.
That's really old.
Yeah. Then he carks it.
In my research, I did read that the Mandalorian TV series takes place, I think it was 5 years
yep.
after this movie.
Yeah.
So the baby Yoda, what's his name? Grogu.
I've got him here.
Name. You're holding Grogu. Him, little Grogu. Little Grogu is younger than Yoda. So Yoda's has been dead for a few years by the time we have.
Yeah, we all joked about it being baby Yoda, but we didn't, because there was no real explanation as to whether he was a, you know, he's of the same species.
Where are the female Yodas? Where are these creatures coming from?
I don't know. I don't think it's been explained. Maybe it might be in the comic. It might be in the comics or something. Like there's lots of stuff in the comics that they make it to the movies.
If somebody knows where the female Yodas are, please DM us and let us know. Someone is a Star Wars expert and can answer that question.
But I think on what you're saying there, like no one dies a horrible death.
No.
No one gets, look, actually, look, going back, Luke did get his hand cut off.
Yeah, that was in the last movie, though.
And he gets replaced with a, you know, a robotic hand.
Yeah.
Pretty much very Which quickly. Is fine. Very Do you remember quickly. That? Like, it was like,
wasn't
very
even
quickly.
An issue. It was just no. the fact he got his it hand cut off, like, but we don't even care.
It was a mild inconvenience. Yeah. You know, like, and but no one really dies.
No, no one cares.
Given that so many people are getting, you know, swooshed with lightsabers and you know, hit with lasers.
Yeah.
All the main characters don't.
Everyone's fine.
Oh, Leia gets hit in the shoulder with a laser. Doesn't do anything.
Nah, she doesn't care. She's fine.
So here's the thing, and you asked this question yourself.
I am really confused.
What's with the inconsistency in the application of a lightsaber and lasers? Sometimes they don't work at all. Sometimes they...
Well, sometimes...
make a person disappear. Sometimes they lop off a limb. So and sometimes they don't do...
The first big battle where Luke has his takes out the green lightsaber and, yep. you know, fights whoever he's fighting, stormtroopers or whoever he's fighting. I don't remember. There were some, you know, guys in white. And he's like... No, no, it wasn't. It was with Jabba the Hutt. I'm sure that... Is that where mm-hmm. Luke first uses his lightsaber? I don't remember. Anyway, so he's like chung, chung, chunging with his lightsaber and...
When they're in the desert over the big mouth hole thing.
Yeah. There's a big fight that's scene. Right. Yeah, and he's got his lightsaber. And he's like whacking the lightsaber into people and they're just like falling over.
Yeah.
Why aren't they being cut in half?
Mm.
I don't understand. Are there degrees? Like, does he have to have a setting? do the lightsabers have different settings where they don't actually... chop people in half? Because like, he lost his hand with a lightsaber.
Set it to stun.
Yeah, that's it. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, it's a strange
It's just inconsistent.
One.
Like, I thought the lightsabers are, like, really full-on dangerous and he just, like, knocked into them and they just fell down. Not in pieces.
No.
Just, like, fell over like he'd hit them with a bat.
Yep. But it goes sort of back to Ben Kenobi in that, right back at the beginning, this strange thing where Vader hits him with the lightsaber. He disappears.
Mm-hmm.
His cloak doesn't get cut. It just falls to the ground. But he disappears. And it's this weird sort of thing about, well, what does a lightsaber actually do?
Yeah.
You know? Because a sword's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
You know,
chop.
You hit something, chop.
Yeah.
Whereas this lightsaber thing gets a bit muddled.
Lightsabers are obviously, like, objectively the coolest weapon ever.
They are so cool.
They are so cool. But I just don't understand, you know, why they don't work the same way every time you turn it on. Like, I don't get it.
No.
All right. Can we talk about the Jabba the Hutt scene?
Probably
the big opening scene where we find out that Han has been retaken by Jabba.
Yeah.
And we know that it sort of came back to me that in the first movie he had mentioned he was on the run from Jabba the Hutt because he owed him money or
That's
something.
Right.
So Jabba the Hutt's got him back.
Frozen in carbonite.
He's still frozen in carbonite, of course, because they didn't know if Harrison Ford was going to be back for this movie because he'd only signed on for two.
Mm.
And we, you know, all the puppets in that scene are very Jim Henson looking. So it makes me wonder if Jim Henson created them because he must have because they look like Muppets.
They look like, a lot of them look like characters from... the Labyrinth.
Yes, and Jim Henson did the puppets for that. They definitely look labyrinthy.
Very labyrinthy. Which came first? This would have come before Labyrinth.
Labyrinth was
later in the 80s.
Yeah. So C-3PO and R2-D2 are going to see Jabba the Hutt with a message from Luke because they want Han back.
Yep.
Luke wants Han. And this Jabba the Hutt is not CGI. He is definitely a... puppet, an animatronic puppet, because we obviously, so we watched it on Disney Plus, which is a remastered and like redone version. So when we watched the first movie and we found that Jabba had been recast, is that what we would say?
Yeah.
Because in the first movie, he was a guy.
He was a bearded, hairy sort of guy.
Yeah, kind of looked like Hagrid.
Yeah, he did. Like a short version.
Yeah, and then now he's like this big alien-looking creature. But in the first movie, they had CGI'd this alien-looking creature in so that he looked consistent with what we know Jabba the Hutt to look like.
Yeah, so it was almost like they recast him later.
Yeah.
And then they had to go back and fix up their oopsie mistake.
Movie, yeah.
Yeah, because... it didn't no longer flowed.
But there are some really random like CGI creatures in amongst all of these puppets that must have been put in later. And then there's this random musical number where they're all singing, which really feels like a scene from like Fraggle Rock or something where they're all singing. And I'm watching it going, what is going on here? Like, I know are they entertaining Jabba the Hutt? We've had no musical numbers in any of these movies. And now we've got a full on song and dance routine. From CGI characters?
Yeah.
Like, it's so
some
bizarre.
CGI and then some real character, like real in-person character, alien characters.
It is so bizarre.
It's a random one. It's so random.
It's so bizarre. And I'm just
because then of course you've also got, because I don't believe that that was in there at all to begin with.
I see, because I don't know.
People can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that part never existed. And they've gone and put it back in. So what they've done is they've gone and put in some real people aliens.
Yeah.
You know, who are people dressed. I don't want to spoil it for people, but they're people dressed up as aliens. And then they've also got some CGI.
Some real life characters and some CGI.
Yeah, and it looks odd.
It's so strange. Odd. But it's just not consistent with how the whole movie looks to have these CGI characters in there then. Which, you know, be that as it may, we sort of... you know, let that one go.
And it's a fairly long movie.
It's really long. It's so such a long movie.
It boggles my mind that they would put that in. What did they think? People were falling asleep or something? And
well,
needed...
I did fall asleep. We had
this tension of Jabba's moon, and you know, now you know he's got Han. He's now got the Wookiee.
Yeah,
because the Wookiee's come in.
Yep.
He's got Chewbacca. And then all of a sudden there's this party.
But Lando's there, like,
Lando's in the background.
Costume, like, he's hidden.
And so there's lots going for the tension of the scene. And yes, we get that Jabba's having a party. And
I think Jabba's whole life's a party.
This is the moment for them to, I guess, go through, the good guys to go through with their plan of freeing Han, Chewie and the rest. So it's really odd that they chuck this musical number in.
Yeah.
It's not needed. I don't think it does anything
for
it.
And we're left wondering as well, where is Leia? Because we know where Luke is, because that's established in the opening, like, little monologue thing.
Yep.
We know Han's frozen in carbonite. We see a C-3PO and R2-D2 there with Jabba. But where is Leia? And then we see that Han is getting... he's getting thawed.
Yeah.
So he's getting thawed out of this carbonite, which we didn't know was possible, but, you know, sure. This random person with a helmet comes in and does a little dip, 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 and then thaws him out.
Yep.
Then he wakes up and he can't see. And the person with the helmet takes off the helmet and it's Leia under the helmet. And she's just so breathtakingly beautiful.
Yeah.
She takes that helmet off and then they are immediately busted. Oh, she kisses him.
Yep.
Because he can't see her.
No.
And she tells him, you know, your eyesight's going to come back. I don't know what purpose in the story it served that he couldn't see her or that he couldn't see, because...
It probably makes it play out more interestingly that we get to see who it is before he realises who it is.
But in the next scene, he can't see either. So when Luke
comes...
Yeah,
it takes a while for his sight to come back.
But I don't think that he needed to not be able to see, because it doesn't serve the story
at all.
Well,
him being impaired makes the getaway more difficult.
Yeah, I suppose so. You're right. But it means that it's all on Luke to get him out of there.
That's right. But what's going back to the Jabba the Hutt thing, here's the thing, right? You know how... So what they've done is, in this movie, they've made Jabba the Hutt this big giant slug. Then they've had to go back and change the original Jabba the Hutt into this from this hairy man into the slug as well. And it's very noticeable and doesn't look that great.
Yeah.
Because it's a CGI Jabba. It's not a real...
In the first movie,
Why didn't they just...
Keep him a man?
Keep that guy, Jabba the Hutt, the man, and then just make a completely new character... And that's a giant slug. Like, it doesn't...
Why does it need to be a giant slug?
But it doesn't...
Why couldn't it...
Because he looks
Jabba
evil
just...
and stuff, and he's...
Why couldn't Jabba have just been a guy? The same guy?
Well, I like the big slug guy. I think he's cool.
Okay.
But I just don't think the name needed to be the same.
No.
Like, tell me why you couldn't have changed it, George.
Mr. Lucas.
I mean, seriously. You know, they could have called him Billy the Hutt.
Billy the Hutt. Bobby the Hutt.
Pizza the Hutt.
So they're busted and are captured again. And Han is like put in the dungeons. Leia is put in this gold bikini and is sat like a dog in front of Jabba with like a chain around her neck and everything. And it's really quite awful. And Luke rocks up like...
Well, she looks
Jedi.
Good doing it.
She looks beautiful, but... You know, it's
strange.
It's really like demeaning for her, and it's like weird to watch.
Yeah.
Because it's really just there for people to ogle at her.
True.
And you know, anyway, it was the '80s. Whatever.
Hey, look, give me a movie where they don't at some point ogle at a woman.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
So Luke rocks up and he's full Jedi. And I think that the strangest thing is that Leia, his, you know, friend, doesn't know it's his sister at this point, but his friend is at the feet of this big creature. He didn't know that she was there.
Yep.
And he doesn't even acknowledge her. He doesn't say hello. He doesn't say, oh my gosh, what are you doing here? He doesn't say, are you okay? Mm. He doesn't say to Jabba, hey, let her go. He doesn't say anything.
There's no exchange of looks.
There's no exchange of anything. He just like...
completely impersonal.
Yeah. And I just thought that was strange. Like, Luke's a bit of a jerk in this one. He's just so cold. And maybe that's the Jedi-ness of him now. But he's just like, I don't know.
Yeah, it seems, well, look...
Because Han can't acknowledge
her. Let's be honest.
Her.
It's not. It's, you know, it's a directorial choice that maybe they didn't focus on that the intimacies of those characters. They're brother and sister. Well, they're not brother and sister.
Well, they are. But
well,
they don't know
they are. But as far as because in the last one, she kissed him.
Yeah.
At the end.
Yep.
And we don't know that they're brother and sister.
No.
But it's like there's maybe they had like maybe they did a little bit of you know funky space dance and.
No.
And there's an awkward, you know, the morning after kind of thing.
Luke has never funked a space dance with anyone. Absolutely not.
Anyway, yeah. But it is strange.
It's just weird that they don't acknowledge each other at all.
The only thing I could say about that, the only thing I could say about that would be if Luke and Leia went to that planet together and they knew that was their plan all along.
But they don't establish that at all.
Because she wasn't trying to get caught, but she got caught.
Well, they get caught 7,000 times in this movie. They're really bad
at
this.
You know, and Luke rocks up later on. So it seems a bit strange that if they were in it together, that they would actually arrive together. Yeah. You know, so it's a strange one.
And, like, they've got to fight that big monster thing. Yep. He goes to fight that big monster thing. And it's like he's got nothing with him. It's like you went all that way without a weapon. Like, you didn't think, I'm going to go to see Jabba the Hutt, I might bring anything?
Yeah.
Even a slingshot? Nothing? You're just rocking up. What are you going to do? Just you use the Force? Like, come on.
And the thing is, as it plays out, R2-D2's got his lightsaber.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, why didn't you just take it in the first place? He could have busted some heads with his lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
It might not have worked on Jabba the Hutt, because who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
It may or may not have worked. But you know what I mean? Like, he could have gone in there and gone all chop suey on Jabba. Yeah.
And Leia kills Jabba, and then it's all fine. She strangles him.
Yeah, strangles him. It's a bit
graphic, but it's fine. But throughout this whole first, you know, whatever of this movie, no one is mentioning the fact that Darth Vader is Luke's dad.
No.
Like, we've just almost, like, just let that one go and just forgotten about it until, you know, we get introduced, like, we find out the Palpatine is back and we go to the swamp. Luke goes to the swamp to go talk to Yoda and Yoda confirms because Luke wants to complete his training and Yoda's like, well, you're done, basically.
Oh, when you kill your dad.
when you kill your dad, then you're done. And confirms that Vader is his father and then Yoda disappears because that's what Jedis do. They don't die.
Yeah, they become one with the Force.
They become one with the Force and they disappear.
It's a strange one.
Mm. And we also reveal there that Leia is his sister as well because they know that there is another. That was part of the prophecy or whatever, was that there is another. And it's the sister reveal is so strange though, because he's like, oh yes, you know, you've got a sister, basically. Yeah. Yoda tells him you've got a sister and that she is living in anonymity or whatever, you know, however he says it. I don't remember.
Safe in anonymity.
Safe in anonymity. And he's like, oh, Leia. And it's like, there are how many women in this universe? And you just single in, it must be Leia.
Because they had a kiss and he was like, oh, it's like kissing my sister. Yeah. And then it dawns on him that actually it is.
It's just so strange. Like, it's such a weird reveal. I feel like these were the two giant reveals of Star Wars was Luke, I am your father.
Yeah.
And the Princess Leia and Luke are siblings. And both of them, I feel like they didn't do a very good job with. Like, the first, I am your father, you know, I thought it was, and we talked about this when we did Empire Strikes Back, but I thought it was going to be a big whole, you know, Luke, I am your father, be really dramatic. And it's not. He's just like, oh, well, Luke, it's because I am your father, you know? Yeah. And then this was not.
If I was writing this, right?
It's not the writing, it's the delivery of the lines.
Here's what I would have done. If I was writing this, I would have had the reveal of her being his sister have a bit more impact in relation to defeating Darth Vader, right? So we find out she's his sister. It doesn't mean much in the grand scheme of defeating Darth Vader.
No.
Luke does it by himself. Well, kind of, yeah. Anyway, yeah. There's a whole thing there. But
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it would have been a stronger finish if she and him had have defeated the bad guys together. I mean, she was down doing some other stuff.
Because there is another. That's the point, that there's two of them.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter that there's two of them.
I mean, what she did is she was with Han and that down on the planet.
Yeah.
They were defeating the bad guys there while Luke was up in the Death Star defeating the bad guys up there.
Yeah.
So they both were defeating the bad guys in their own way.
Yeah.
But the fact that she is, you know, his sister and potentially a Jedi.
She has the potential to become a Jedi.
You know.
She does in the later movies, doesn't she? Because she does the... When Leia dies in the last movie, she disappears like a Jedi would, becomes one with the Force.
But it doesn't seem like it made, you know...
It didn't matter that
she's his sister.
No, but then it doesn't even matter going
forward. The only thing
it
really does is it opens up the gates for Han to move in and actually kind of, you know...
That there's
not
no love
feel,
triangle anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense,
That he can almost... It's almost like permission to go ahead with what
well,
they
even
were...
from an audience perspective, not even just for Han, but from an audience perspective for us to go, well...
It's okay if, yeah.
Like, we don't have to, you know, hope that Luke and Leia
end
up
together.
Yeah, we
no longer have to hope that they get together.
Because they're siblings.
Yeah.
So that makes makes sense.
Yeah, but it's a strange one. Maybe the love, you know, like the love story element of storytelling isn't George Lucas's forte.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, like you said, there's some coldness, there's some things that just, you know, they don't spend a whole lot of time on those real deep emotional connections between characters.
Yeah.
It's very surface level in many ways.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, it's essentially a war-torn environment. There's lots of trauma, so maybe they aren't.
But even
you know,
like,
maybe falling in love and having intimacy is a luxury that they don't have.
Even if we're talking about later on when Luke actually tells Leia, actually, you're my sister, right?
Yeah.
Later on in the movie. She talks about, because he asks her about her mother before he tells her. So they're on the Ewok planet. Hate the Ewoks, by the way. Thought I would like them. Don't like them. That he asks Leia if she remembers her mum.
Mm.
And Leia says, yes, I do. I've got memories, but I was very... But didn't we establish in one of the prequels that Padme dies in childbirth? Doesn't she die in childbirth with Luke and Leia?
Well, that's what the story that was told. So whether
that's
true or not...
But don't we see that in the movies?
Mm.
I'm sure, doesn't she? Because Anakin's not with her when the kids are born.
No.
Anakin's all, like, going dark.
Yeah.
And in the third movie, in Revenge of the Sith, and she dies in childbirth, doesn't she? So how does Leia remember her? Has memories of her when she was a literal newborn? That's question number one. Question number two, when Luke says, so I'm getting all fired up now. This was more interesting than the whole movie.
Well, so here's the thing too, because it's a bit like this Jabba the Hutt thing, because obviously their mum, Padme dying in birth, is a story that is told, like, chronologically, movie-making chronologically, later on.
Yeah.
As a prequel.
Yeah.
And so...
But if they've already established that Leia has memories of her, why would they just make her not die in childbirth? It's not consistent. It's a continuity error.
Yeah. And look, hey... Movies get continuity wrong scene for scene. Imagine trying to do a story like later on.
This is not a little movie.
It doesn't seem like small things, though. That seems like if you're sitting around discussing a movie.
Didn't you watch the movie? Didn't you watch it? Did no one cross-reference scripts or?
No, I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, my second question was, when he says, you're my sister, she says, I've always known. She's like, I've always known. Like, I've always felt it. But yet you were making out in the last movie. So did you always know, though, Leia? Did you know? Because why would you go macking on with your brother if you did know, if you felt in your heart that he was actually your sibling? Why would you ever think that in your life?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Strange. One of my favourite parts of the movie is, you know, old Ben Kenobi, he, you know, he appears to talk to Luke. Just after Yoda's passed away, Ben rocks up. Oh, yeah, hello, sure. Ben. Because all of a sudden, you know, Yoda dies, disappears. All of a sudden, you know, Luke's alone in a swamp.
It's like left without a mentor.
You know, he's just hanging out there.
Yeah.
Oh, it's very sad in many ways. Like, so here's the thing. Luke pulls a bit of a face when Yoda's dying, almost like he's going to cry. And it's just like, maybe, like, this is what I'm talking about this emotional stuff that's not there. Like, maybe let him cry.
Mm.
Like, take that moment. This really important figure in his life has died, and he's got a bit of an upset face, but not really letting his emotions come out. And it's just a bit of a shame. It's a wasted moment, I thought.
Yeah.
But anyway, then Ben Kenobi rocks up, ghost-like, and starts dropping some truth bombs. And it looks like, why didn't you tell me that Darth Vader was my dad?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, it kind of depends on your perspective. You know, like something
your,
like that.
Your father, Anakin Skywalker, did die. It's like, no, but actually he didn't because he's right there. And he's tried to kill me several times. So you could have, like, so forewarned me.
You kind of did die. You know, because he turned to the dark side, Anakin disappeared.
No, he didn't.
And Darth Vader was born. And he's like, well, it kind of depends on how you look at it. You know, like,
it's like we knew that in the first movie they didn't know that Darth Vader was Luke's dad. Nobody had made that up then at that point. That is why Ben Kenobi didn't tell him, because they didn't know the first movie. I like the throwback... The Han and Leia throwback where he says to her, I love you, and she says, I know.
Yeah.
Which is the nice little throwback to when it previously had been reversed.
Role reversal.
Did you think they intentionally made Luke wear black throughout this movie to sort of signify that he might go dark?
Yes.
So because he wore white, like the white sort of robes for the first two.
Yeah.
Or even like a white, you know, shirt.
Yep.
And then this movie, the whole movie, he's in black.
And I think if you look at the prequels, you see the same kind of thing happen with Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah, but Anakin Skywalker does go dark.
So, you know, he starts to look like he is changing,
yeah,
you know, not only physically but in the way he dresses.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that there's some, you know,
yeah,
something in that for sure.
Yeah.
The way they present it, he could go either way.
Mm.
You know, and he has his face off at the end there with
the final battle
Darth
with
Vader.
Luke, yeah.
You know, and they've got the Emperor. He's just sitting there kind of...
He's just like getting the popcorn.
He's like, fight, fight. Yeah, like, you know, he's just like, fight him, you know. Let your anger hang out and we'll I'll welcome you over to the team.
Yeah.
The dark side.
Yeah.
You know, he's loving it. Mm. It was quite a good little... You know, a setup for a challenging scenario, because he's either got to defeat the bad guys
or
with kind of strength, with strength and power, or, you know, like we see in movies, some kind of outwitting.
Yeah.
What he tries to do is appeal to his dad. This is, you know, like he's literally appealing to his dad to, you know, to help him, which works in the end. So he doesn't defeat the Emperor through physical force or outwitting, but actually by eliciting an emotional reaction from his dad to turn good again.
Which just seems so out of character for Darth Vader.
Mm.
Like...
So this is the only part of the movie where there's actually some emotion shown.
But there's
been
no sort of indication up until this point that Darth Vader even cares about Luke. He doesn't care. He's tried to kill him.
Mm.
Why now? Why now does he go, oh, actually, I'm actually going to try and help you? Doesn't he want him to go dark and come and join him? Why would he be trying to... Like, it just seems so strange and out of character for Darth Vader to then want Luke to be, you know, good. And then he kills Palpatine, like throws him off
Off the balcony.
Off the balcony. And, he gets his hand cut off too. Vader gets his hand cut off again. Yep. Not important. No one cares. Except for the fact that we see that it's like a machine. That it's all, wires and mechanized and that sort of stuff.
Well, Ben warned him and said he's more machine than man.
Yeah. And then, he takes his mask off and dies, basically.
Yeah.
So that when he takes his mask off, just fun fact, didn't make it to my fun facts, but we'll do a bonus one here. The actor, when he takes his mask off, is not the actor that has played Darth Vader this whole time.
No.
Which was actually kind of surprising for the actor that played Darth Vader this whole time to see that there was a scene in the movie when he watched it that his face is revealed and he's like, that's not me.
Yeah, didn't know about it.
No, didn't know about it. Didn't know that that was going to be... Well, he must have known because he would have got the script, but maybe that was a late addition to the script. Maybe he didn't have that version with the mask coming off.
The other thing, maybe it was kept under wraps too for fear of it getting out into the public. Yeah. And that's one of those things.
Well, there were the different secrets. Versions of the script so that they could keep it under wraps.
Keep it mysterious.
So I think that just would have been awful to have been the guy. You are Darth Vader. And you get no credit because James Earl Jones gets all the credit for the voice.
Yeah.
But you are the body of Darth Vader. And then when the body of Darth Vader is actually finally revealed after three movies,
it's not you. Yeah.
And the guy kind of looks like Uncle Fester, really. Like, it just was not what I was expecting when he took his mask off.
Yeah.
But they blow up the Death Star and then... But the weirdest thing.
Yep.
The weirdest thing.
What?
Right at the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching this 1983 sci-fi movie. We're at the end. Everyone's celebrating. Everyone's happy.
Yeah.
Like, and then we see the ghosts. Oh, ghosts. I don't know if the ghosts. Whatever. The forms of Yoda appear.
Yeah.
And Ben Kenobi appear.
Yep.
And right next to them is Hayden Christensen. And I'm like, what is this? Like, hang on a minute. That wasn't always it. That can't have always been there. When did they add that in? In like 2010?
Yeah, that's right. When they remastered it.
But why?
So here's the thing too. Okay, so if you want to like...
Are we assuming
people
are watching it from the prequels now? Like they're starting at episode one, so they know who that is?
But...
Because how would they know who that is otherwise?
This is where the series kind of creates more questions than answers. Why does...
How does Luke even know who that is?
Why does Darth Vader now come back as, Anakin Skywalker?
Yeah.
But Ben Kenobi, as a young Anakin Skywalker, but Ben Kenobi's an old man.
It's not Ewan McGregor.
I
don't know.
And I just go, well, is that because... Anakin Skywalker was Anakin Skywalker. Can't come back as Darth Vader.
But why does he get to come back at all? He's the bad guy.
Yeah.
It's just...
What's interesting, too, is if you look closely, you see that Ben Kenobi and Yoda kind of look at each other, they're standing there ghostly, but they actually don't pay attention to Anakin because he was never there.
Because he wasn't there. But you know what? Actually,
it's strange.
After I watched this yesterday, I did some research into this little scene. And when they got Hayden Christensen to do it, they said, come in, we're just going to do this little shot of you. They did not tell him what it was for.
Yeah.
And he didn't know what it was for until, the remastered version of the movie came out. And people are going, you're in this. And he's like, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean I'm in this?
I wonder if he got paid the appropriate amount of money to...
Look, I don't know much about the Star Wars... paychecks, but I'm pretty sure that Anakin Skywalker's doing fine. I think he's fine. He's living off the royalties from them using his image and all the merchandise.
They really should call this movie Unnecessary CGI. The Return of Unnecessary CGI.
Plus a whole lot of time wasting.
Because at the end too, they obviously defeat the bad guys. They explode the Death Star. And in the original, it was just them, Luke, Han, Leia, Chewbacca, and the robots hanging out, celebrating with the Ewoks.
Right? Is Lando there?
I don't know. Can't remember. But what they've done is they've now gone and CGI'd in a whole bunch of extra pieces to that scene, which is different parts of the universe with people celebrating on tops of buildings and stuff like that. Yay! Yeah. And it's noticeably different. And I just think, it was not needed.
Yeah.
I mean, what they're just trying to say is that everyone around the universe now knows that they've defeated the bad guys,
the
Empire. But I just kind of feel like it never needed to be expanded to include everyone in the universe.
Yeah.
That localized victory and celebration is probably enough, you know, as far as storytelling goes. Probably doesn't need to be more than that, but they just added it in anyway.
All right, so then how many green lightsabers do you give this?
Green lightsabers?
Yeah.
I'm still going to give it a pretty strong score.
Okay.
I thought it was a bit longer than it needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's some connections I'm missing between characters.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it 7.5.
That is a good score.
Mm.
You went a halvesy again.
I did.
Okay.
And how many blue lightsabers would you give it?
Not gold bikinis.
No. We could do gold bikinis if you want.
I am not the target audience for this, but I really enjoyed the prequels, and I really enjoyed the most recent trilogy. Really enjoyed the most recent trilogy. Probably because I have no vested interest in it, so I get to enjoy it without picking it apart. However, I did not enjoy this movie nearly as much as I thought I was going to.
You didn't even like the Ewoks.
No, I didn't like the Ewoks. They were dumb.
They're weird. No. They're meant to be sort of cute and stuff, I suppose.
Merchandising. That's what they were there for. Like, really, they didn't need to be there, and they were annoying. They were annoying.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to give it a 6.
Six
blue lightsabers.
There you go.
Out of 10. Not my fave. Not my fave at all.
Oh, I'll say one more thing.
Okay.
Because you always say, have you got anything more to say? So throughout all of this, all of this sort of, in theory, death and destruction, we never see any real blood or gruesome stuff. It's totally made to be a family-friendly romp.
With a gold bikini.
Well, that's for the dads.
Or the mums. The Ewoks are for the kids.
Well, that's true. We can't, stereotype.
We don't discriminate. So I guess that brings my journey of watching the original three. I can't say I haven't seen the original three Star Wars movies anymore, because now I've seen them all.
There you go.
Yay.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It's been a few decades in the making. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the most recent episode of Presenting Pixie Dust. Don't forget that if you go and leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts, we see that and we will give you a shout-out on next week's episode. We really appreciate you. Go and like us on Facebook and Instagram and follow us and subscribe and do all of those wonderful things to help people find the podcast. We hope you have enjoyed this most recent episode. Don't forget you can check out Brett's other podcast, Teaching for Dummies, wherever you get your podcasts. And we will see you next week.
Yeah.
May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you.